All right, Chris, how are you?
I'm good, man.
Good. It's been a while. As we've said in podcasts before, we kind of record sessions at one time, and then we split those up into episodes. And we're actually ahead quite a bit from what we've posted. We've kind of finished our Act 1, and we're getting ready to head into Act 2, but right now we're kind of recording some background stuff. So this is a little bit of talking crit.
We've had a lot of trouble getting everyone together lately, because we're all adults with our own schedules. But we were able to get a few people together today, so we're recording some origins.
So, Topher, we're going to go through an early part of your life. We're taking you back a few levels. What level are you at right now?
I'm level 4.
Level 4.
Okay. I'm level 8 in our campaign?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this was back when Topher was level 4.
Yes. So
quite a while ago.
First, let's start out. Why don't you tell me a little bit about Topher, like growing up? What was
so
it like?
He's a wood elf. He was born to a pretty healthy little tribe of elves in the woods. But his people have always been about, you know, they don't like gather in their little palace in the woods and just stay there and live. They all kind of separate. They live as rangers and sort of tend to the woods and sort of take care of the forest. And so from a very tender age, Topher has been kind of living in the forest and sort of taking care of it and just like keeping tabs on all the animals and the wildlife there and making sure everything is in balance and good. And he was more of an outlander, so he just kind of survived in the, almost like a Native American lives in the forest or something.
Okay.
So he lived off the land and wandered around, but he's always sort of been a ranger just as a force of habit and the way his elf tribe lives. It's just the way they do things.
Yeah. He has also been on previous adventures.
Yes.
So what's some of the stuff that Topher has gotten into prior to our new cast of characters meeting up with him?
Well, Topher, even though he spends a lot of time in the forest, he finds himself in towns every once in a while, and he is a social guy, and he likes the ladies. So he was in a town, and he woke up one morning, and everyone in the town was going a little bit crazy. They were like it was like a town-wide hallucination, basically, and there was all kinds of wild things going on. And some kind of creature had, or I can't remember if it was a well or a creature. This is a long time ago for me as the role player and for Topher, but
yeah.
Some people who were capable in the town got together, and that's how Topher kind of got, like, just thrown in with a group of, you know, adventurers and sort of, he was like, I need to figure out why everyone's, you know, hallucinating. And so it just sort of came upon him.
Yeah.
He never really went out seeking for adventure, but he was always sort of doing it already as a wood elf. Ranger, so he just sort of got thrown into it trying to figure out where all these hallucinations came from, and then he stayed with that group for a short time. They went helped some dwarf out with his cave, and they went into a forest and fought a shambler and a young dragon and ran in with some, you know, an eye of the beholder or a beholder and a mind flayer and different, like, you know, baddies.
Yeah.
So he just kind of developed.
That's intense.
I think it changed him a little bit after seeing all the evil that's in the world. Like, he's been just kind of working against and with nature.
Yeah.
And then after he teamed up with those guys, I think he sort of realized there's a lot more going on and there's a lot more that needs to be kept in balance than just, you know, wildlife in the forest. And so I think ever since he fell in with those adventures, he's been more keen to joining adventures because he feels like you can get a lot of good done.
Yeah.
And it aligns really closely with this whole idea of keeping the world in balance.
Yeah. And with the dragon and the shambler, you actually came across your quiver, who we've heard from a little bit.
Yes, his traveling companion, his sentient quiver, was he found it in the lair of the dragon. This dragon was just sleeping on piles and piles of treasure, and one of the things that was there was a magical quiver who can speak but is not very intelligent, but he eats things and turns all the things he eats into arrows, so it works great for Topher because he already made a lot of arrows in his spare time, so now he doesn't really have to do that. Now he can just feed things to Quibble.
So as player cheat, we don't have to keep track of our arrows because you can make your own.
Well, but he was always... That was something... That was a decision I made for Topher early on, was to have him... Like, every time we were having a short rest or anything, he was, like, dismantling things and making arrows out of them. Every time he killed someone, he'd take their bones and turn them into arrows, and it was just a funny little thing.
No, I dig it. Well, we're about to go into a little bit of a backstory. It's kind of a thing that I've put together that we're going to roleplay and go through. That's going to talk about a union that you're actually a part of and have been part of for some time. And it's going to kind of build your story. You know your backstory, but you don't know many specifics that I have put in here, so it'll be like you're experiencing it for the first
time. Well, this is... Topher pre-existed this
podcast,
but he's come into his own in this podcast, and he is fully a member of this podcast now. You know, I think if I ever did D&D somewhere else, I'd probably just make a new character.
So
I think it's only fair that you, as the DM, are part of his. You get a fair swing at characterizing him a little bit.
Yeah. What I'm trying to do is not do anything to deviate away from what you've created from your character. I'm just trying to add a little bit more flavor.
Right, and it's going to be more fun for us to roleplay this because I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I wanted it to be.
D&D doesn't work if it's scripted.
Exactly.
I have to not know what's going to happen. So.
Exactly. All right. So, let's get started.
Yeah.
Topher, you're walking through the Orin Woods. It's a very familiar path. You have gone down this path many times, thousands of times. You're slowly creeping through the branches, going through, and you can see, starting to appear, a very large cabin that belongs to the Huntsman. Now, the Huntsman is a union of rangers who join to talk sport hunting, share their achievements, display their prize kills, and every once in a while compete for a prize. It's kind of like a gentleman's club. I picture it as people around in like pipes talking, kind of like those fancy golf clubs, but for hunting.
Mm-hmm. What do they call themselves?
They're the Huntsmen.
The Huntsmen Union.
Yes, it's the Union of Huntsmen.
Nice.
And they every now and then have different competitions for hunting, and they have a specific scoring system based on the danger of the animal that they're hunting, how big it is, how many
points,
how many points, how many arrows were used. There's all sorts of variations. So if you one shot an owlbear, you're going to have a much higher rank than someone who had to shoot 10 arrows at it to take it down. And that's what brings you here today. The union leader, Oakenfold, has called to action a new competition that he will be announcing soon. You kind of got here a little bit early. The main hall has multiple rows of wooden chairs with a small stage and a podium at the very front. There's a lot of people seated. There's probably about 100 people in this large room with other hallways kind of going off away from the main hall. That a lot of people stay overnight if they're doing particularly long hunts. But walking in, there's a little bit of a hallway, and on the left, you see a massive, like, corkboard. It has photos of a bunch of different stuff along the top, and then it also has a big part of it that has the current ranking of the rangers in the hunting competition that they currently keep track of as they're going. You look, and you see that you're actually in fifth place on the ranking. I'll go through what it kind of looks like in terms of ranking and what you have in a little bit, but there's a lot on here. On the bottom right, there is a picture that you notice. It's a hand-drawn sketch of the head and the shoulders depicting a man who's very large and muscular with a lion mask on. And it says, "The Lion," up above it. And it says, "To avoid contact, highly dangerous." And next to it, there's another photo of a more slender but fit person with a wolf mask, known as the Wolf. It says they have been seen together and to avoid as well. You, in your travels, have actually seen these pictures and sketches everywhere.
So these are some notorious...
They're just kind of notorious people that people have had run-ins with, and...
I've never had run-ins with them.
You've never had run-ins with them. But you have seen these before, but the problem is that they are usually overshadowed by propaganda posters touting a very courageous knight in black armor that is a sworn protector of the realm. And on your board, in one of the pictures, you actually see he did a signing at the cabin once. Did you go? Is that something that Topher would be interested in?
A signing?
Yeah, a signing with this courageous black knight that protects the realm?
No.
No, I figured. So you didn't go, but you do see a photo where it has your union leader and this knight with no helmet together smiling, and there's a signature on it saying, "To my biggest fan, you make me great, and so do I. Heart DH." You have a couple of minutes before the announcement is going to start. The rankings on the board are number one, Artemis Zuul, with 2,143,128 points. There's number two, Leopold Watts, with 600,021 points. So this Artemis guy, really good.
Yeah,
like this is his life. Number three is someone named Gygax, with 326,331 points. Number four is Kingston Thim with 300,485 points. And number five, Topher Biznatch, 299,879 points. So you see a lot of these people that are on this list kind of sitting around waiting for the announcement that's about to happen. So what do you kind of do?
Well, I'm going to sit down and light my pipe because that's what we do. You know?
All right.
I'm just getting ready. I feel like this is a very relaxing and good time for Topher. You know, this is like his leisure activity, you know?
Yeah.
So I think he's just having a good time talking to everybody.
Yeah, he's in his element.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're just kind of doing simple chatter, banter, and stuff with him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe asking people, you know, how they're doing, maybe if, like, how they got, you know, so many points or something.
Yeah.
Just general chat along those lines.
Yeah, and talking to them about how they get points, you can kind of put together that a lot of it is time. Artemis basically lives at the cabin. He is constantly hunting. Like, that's his thing. And he basically wants to be the best. He's a little bit cocky from your interactions with him. He loves being number one on there, so he tries to pad it as much as possible. But as you're kind of talking around, the union leader, Oakenfold, comes up to the podium at the end of the room. There are... you're sitting in the rows. How far back are you? Towards the front? Towards the back? Where would Topher sit? Is he more of a...
I think he's in the front. I don't think he necessarily knew it was the front. He just sat down, lit his pipe, and it ended up being the front.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He doesn't really pay attention to that sort of thing.
All right, so he asks everyone to kind of sit down, and everyone sits, and he says... "I'm glad to see so many of you make it today. First order of business, it's a sad one. The body of Harlow Flint was found in the northeast. He was on a hunt and was, what looks like, murdered. I know a lot of you like to hunt there, so be cautious. We are deeply saddened by his loss, so let us say the hunter's oath in his honor." So, you know, just to kind of repeat after whatever he says.
Mm-hmm.
"I'm one with nature, my brothers too.
I'm one with nature, my brothers too.
My senses guide me, my weapon is true.
My senses guide me, my weapon is true.
As I breathe, and when I pass.
As I breathe.
And when I pass.
May my soul rest in the woods at last.
May my soul rest in the woods at last.
To the hunt!
To the hunt!"
And he's like, "All right, now down to business. Everyone,
the contest is afoot. And then everyone kind of cheers. Now, starting out, we are wiping the slate clean, starting anew. All the scores are erased, and in the background you can kind of hear Artemis say, "God damn it." And he says, whosoever brings back the most dangerous of beasts shall win. And he pulls out something and raises it above his head. The antler crown. And then there's more cheers.
Whee! Yeah! Yeah! I want that antler crown.
And he says, now the standard scoring is applied, but you have a limit of 3 kills. You have 48 hours, starting tomorrow, to get your 3 kills, the best ones that you think will win you the trophy, and then you come back, and then we'll do our judging. Everyone kind of gets up and runs off, and Oakenfold kind of catches your glance at the front and kind of points at you and waves you over. And you kind of walk back into his office, which has a very large desk, lots of bookshelves, lots of bows and arrows of different styles along the walls, and also a couple big animal heads posted up around his office. And he goes, Topher Biznatch, it's been a while. So, have you been off adventuring again?
A little bit. Not really on purpose, sir. I just kind of, you know, ran into some trouble when I was staying in town.
Look, we do not want that attention here. If you want to maintain membership, you need to cease your activities or keep your mouth closed about your inclusion. We hunt for sport. We are neutral. I can't let anything get in the way of our creed.
Nobody knows about the Huntsman. I didn't tell anybody. I haven't been going around spouting about the fact that I'm in the Huntsman Union. It's just a, you know, I don't chill out a little bit there, Oakenfold.
Yeah, he kind of sighs, and you can kind of see him just kind of, like, he's stressed almost. And he just kind of decompresses, and he's like, you know, with Harlow and everything, I'm just sorry, it's been crazy. Look, I'm not your father. You will do what you will, but understand, I gotta do everything I can to protect this place.
I understand I wouldn't do anything to put this place in danger. It means a lot to me, too. You know, I feel like this is sort of a family to me. And I feel like you might need to go on a hunt or something. Looks like you've been a little bit overwhelmed lately. How have you, you know, is it just Harlow that's weighing on you?
Well, it's just the woods are seeming stranger and stranger. There seems to be a lot going on. And I'm curious, will you be competing?
Yeah.
For the
antler. I want that antler crown. That's a good prize. I feel like we're stepping it up with the prizes here.
Yeah, last time it was that bag.
Yeah, it wasn't that exciting.
I'll be honest, I just found that.
Yeah, it looked like it. It looked like that kind of prize. It's like, what, did he just find that in?
Yeah, I got really excited about the contest, and I told everyone, and then I had to come up with a prize, so I just kind of looked around. That's why I was like, oh, hold on, I'll go grab it. And then it disappeared for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, but I'm excited about this antler crown, so yeah, definitely count me in.
Oh, well, that's good. You
that's
know
what
if,
I'm here for.
If you didn't concern yourself with women in adventure, you could probably top Artemis in the main contest and maybe even take my job down the road.
I don't know if... I want to do the most good I can to keep this world in balance. And I think the Huntsman Union does a lot of good. But I'm not sure if that's enough.
I understand. You have a wild heart. Now, go on and be careful, and let's see what you can do out there.
I'll make you proud, sir.
All right. So, are you just jumping into the woods after this? Are you getting started right away?
Well, Topher has kind of like he hunts a lot, and this is part, so he gets ready. So first he's going to go out into the woods and kind of get a feel for the area, and listen and track a little bit, but primarily what he likes to do is climb up in a tree and wait.
Okay.
Until he sees, if he doesn't find any tracks. Obviously he'll track something down if he finds, you know, anything to track, but if he doesn't, he'll just wait for it to come to him.
Yeah. So you're out kind of looking around, and you're kind of stealthing your way through the forest. Why don't you roll a stealth check for me?
Yes, sir.
One. I rolled a one.
Okay, so you're actually walking through the forest going, sneaking, 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 sneaking.
My shoes are squeaking.
Yeah, you wore your squeaky shoes. you're going through. You're not being overly careful. You feel pretty confident in the woods, and maybe that's kind of fleeing your consciousness right now. You haven't been hunting in a while.
Yeah. It would probably be best if I stayed quiet, but I'm not really thinking about that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're just kind of clomping through. But you do notice that there has been some brush that's kind of been disturbed, and you see some tracks of something that could be fantasy elk.
All right.
By the way, I'm just taking fantasy elk from the older arc we did, and I'm just running with it. That's what they're called.
Well, yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying that's their official animal name in our universe.
They're fantasy elk. They're not elk in the fantasy world.
Fantasy elk.
They're fantasy elk, yeah.
Because the first person who discovered them thought he was dreaming. There we go. Made that up.
Because they're fantastic.
Because they're so beautiful.
Yeah, they're beautiful creatures.
It's a mighty creature.
They're just like our elks, except bigger.
Except they got cool sunglasses.
And their horns.
With a strap that connects to them back.
And their horns are a little bit longer and pointier.
Yeah.
But primarily it's the sunglasses.
Yeah, it's the sunglasses are a big difference.
They all have Ray-Bans.
Yep.
Super cool fantasy elk.
Yeah. Oh, man, they are just so nice.
The lead elk smokes the cigarette.
All right, but that's how you can tell it's the buck.
Yeah.
So you see some tracks. So what do you do?
I'm gonna track them. Okay. I'm gonna roll a what kind of check would it be? I don't even know.
I'd say maybe
investigation.
Investigation.
Possibly?
Yeah.
That's a natural 20.
That's a natural 20. Okay, so you are like a hawk, dude. You basically are able to track this thing down, and you kind of see it in a small bit of a forest opening. And it is like a 30-point buck. And you know it's a buck because it's got a cigarette with its sunglasses.
Yeah, he's smoking. He's wearing his sunglasses.
Yeah, and you...
makes him a little bit easier to track. I can smell the smoke.
You can see it really clearly from where you are, and it hasn't noticed you yet.
All right. Before I move, before I do anything, before I even knock an arrow, I'm going to... Topher says a prayer, and he's not necessarily religious, but he believes that there's something out there.
Yeah.
And he just says, and this is just part of his ritual when he's hunting, he says, may my arrow be true and take a life that can be renewed.
Aww. I like that.
And then he knocks an arrow, Topher's gonna always aim, because he's a good smart hunter man. He always aims for the broad part of the chest. He's gonna go for a double lung shot.
Okay.
Take it down with one arrow. You pierce both lungs, they're done for. And it's the largest target on an elk.
Yep. All right.
He knows these things.
Go for it. Go ahead and roll an attack.
All right. That is 20.
20?
Yeah, with my
modifier?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you nail it. Right through the lungs, one arrow, and it drops.
Double lung sucker?
So it drops, and it kind of hits a bunch of dry grass, and you hear it kind of go, ksh. And at first you think it may be kind of an echo, but then you shortly realize it's not, because there's a much faster ksh that's getting louder. And it's getting pretty loud, and you can tell that it's coming closer to you. So what do you do?
I'm gonna climb a tree.
Okay, you climb a tree. Go ahead and do a athletics. Sounds about right.
Athletics would be 12.
12? Okay, good, I'd say you get up to a couple branches up. And
it wasn't impressive or anything, but I got high enough to get a look around.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to do.
And through all the other trees, you see a elf. Actually come through. His clothes are ragged, and you can tell from the clothes he was probably some sort of a noble, but he is very bloody. He's got multiple wounds on his body as he's struggling through running, panting heavily, very tired.
This guy needs some help.
Yeah, so what would you like to do?
I'm going to shout out to him, hey, you there!
He turns around, he looks at you, and you can tell that there may be something kind of weird with his mouth. And he looks up and his eyes go big and he goes, and puts his finger up to his lips. It's kind of like, shh, be quiet.
I put my finger to my lips and I say, yeah.
Like,
I you know,
yeah,
through sign language, show that I understand.
Yep. Out of nowhere, a giant trident comes through the woods and hits him and pins him to a tree. And you can see him kind of move for a second and then go limp. You can kind of see some bushes kind of rustling kind of in the distance, but
I'm knocking an arrow. I'm getting ready for whoever's coming out here.
Okay. You knock an arrow and the branch falls out from under you.
Well, crap.
You hit the ground and your vision's a little bit blurry, but you see a net go over you and a dark figure standing over you.
Uh-oh. Bad news for Topher.
You wake up and it's nighttime. And you're swaying. You can feel the motion of swaying. And you look around and you can see that you're still in the net that captured you. You still have a bow, but it's very uncomfortable. You're kind of scrunched up. And you can see that you were in a tree with a rope connecting it over down to the back of the tree. And on your left is another net holding someone. And on your right is another net holding someone. Down below you, you see a horse and a large wooden box that it is pulling. Doesn't look like there's any windows, but possibly a few bars on the back. So what do you do?
I'm going to try and cut the net.
You're going to try and cut the net? Okay, yeah. So you're going to try to...
Well, first, actually, before I do anything, let's roll a perception check and just see what I can see. That's going to be... 18.
Okay, so you look around, you can see that it's... big enough, the cart down is big enough to probably fit a few people in the seat.
Do I see anyone other than the
people
in nets?
You don't see anyone other than the people in nets. You can tell the person on your right looks like they're totally unconscious.
Right.
You can't really see their face. They're kind of huddled up. But the other person seems to be kind of moving a little bit and groaning. And it sounds like a woman's voice.
Oh. Well... Topher listens to that melodious sound a little bit, but he's gonna take his dagger out and see if he can't cut this net
so
that he's in.
Pull a sleight of hand check.
Sleight of hand.
Yeah, just to kind of see if you can grab your dagger out.
Because I'm so tied up in here. What do you roll?
Nat 20.
Well, there you go.
All right, so you grab that thing and you're able to like stick your hand through one of the holes in the net and brandish it like Castle Grayskull, He-Man style, and it's like shing, just like a glorious reach. And you start cutting through the net, and you hear...
I'm cutting through the top of the net.
Cutting through the top of the net. And you hear a voice go, "No, don't do that."
I stop.
Okay, and the noise is coming from the girl in the other net.
"Hey, who are you? My name's Topher."
And she's like, my name is Venus. Venus? What? Venus.
Venus?
Rockhart.
Rockhart?
Yeah.
Well, you're Venus Rockhart.
She's like, I'm a druid.
Hey, Venus.
She's like, doesn't seem like the time. And she's like, they got you too.
I can't help it, okay, Venus. Your Rockhart makes me rock hard. Yeah, they must have captured me. Who is they?
You can kind of hear her whisper, like, "I hope they kill me."
Who are they?
I'm not entirely sure.
And you realize I could cut myself out of this net and I could cut you out too. Why not?
She's like, "I'm sure they have some sort of like alarm or something." She's like, these people, I was in a tent out in the woods and I woke up and all my stuff was gone. So I walked out and there were two figures in the shadows. I couldn't quite make them out. They had all my equipment on a stump. And they told me to take it and run." Hmm. "So I took the offer and I took it and ran. And 20 minutes later, they captured me."
It sounds like they wanted to hunt you.
I guess. I don't know. What happened to you?
I was out hunting and I saw an elf get killed who I was going to help. And... right after he got killed, the branch I was standing on and the tree broke and
you start
fell
hearing
and...
a rope getting cut from behind the tree and all three of the baskets drop down onto the ground. You're very, very disoriented, but you do hear a loud crack coming from Venus's net that she was trapped in.
I look over at Venus.
She dead. She broke her neck on the fall of the
net. My gosh. So many people dying. This is so sad. I was just going out for a fucking hunt.
A couple people come over and they grab the other bag with the unconscious person, who seems to be bleeding a little bit more now. And they kind of, it's still kind of shadows. It's kind of weird lighting in the trees with the moon. And one of them hits you with the hilt of their weapon and knocks you out.
Man, this is just the worst.
You wake up. This time on the floor of what must have been the carriage that you saw. Okay. It's very solidly built. You can tell that there's a wooden door with a few bars just leading out the back. No other view out of this box. But you do see the person who was unconscious sitting there. And there are no weapons around inside of this
So I no box. Longer have my
You bow no longer have your weapons, your bow sword. You still have your armor and stuff. You aren't stripped down.
Right.
But you don't have any
They didn't take my clothes. Weapons. They just took my weapons.
Yeah. This man you can tell is a human man, and he's sitting. He's bloodied, beaten. He's bald and has a pretty long beard, and his hands are clasped with his elbows on his knees, kind of slunched over. And he's just kind of staring down at the floor.
Hey, man. What's your name? I'm Topher.
And he goes, my name, well, I am simply a wanderer. I was caught out in the woods. We've been traveling a while now, and that will make it harder for them to find me.
Who?
He's like, just some friends that will be looking for me.
All right. Okay.
So you kind of go the rest of the ride kind of in like an awkward silence. He seems kind of like his brain is in another place. Mm-hmm. It could be the concussions. can kind of look through the little bars and see that you're pulling into a small village. There's a kind of a high cobbled together stone wall.
So am I in that like sort of horse-drawn prison that I saw before?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're in there. And you see lots of huts, and there are orcs all around outside of these huts. They are doing blacksmithing. Some of them are eating. There's female orcs there, buffering shields and creating swords. And then there you see male and female orcs practicing archery. They're all just kind of normal everyday life in a camp like this.
For the orc people.
Yeah, a couple of orcs, two orcs open up the doors, and they pull you and this human out, and they kind of walk you by, they kind of, like, grab you to where you can't really move, and they kind of walk you by towards this very large tent towards the back, but there's also an outdoor stage with a big throne made of bones and fur, and there is a gnarly-looking old orc sitting there. And he sees you guys, and he goes, "Yes, perfect! Our feast will be plentiful!" And he points at you, Topher, and he's like, "Elf meat is a delicacy here." And they keep kind of pulling you towards this big tent. And you both go in there, and they open up the tent, and they kind of bring you in, and there are six cages. They're very large, kind of tall, maybe 4x4 wide around and square. And so not cages? A whole lot of space, yeah. There are three people in three of the cages. They each look like they have been there for some time. Very malnutritioned, very skinny. Clothes are all tattered. One cage has a just like a torso in it, kind of in the corner. It's pretty gnarly. You and the human you're with are put into two separate steel cages, and you see someone come in with your guys' weapons, and they place it into a giant chest at the entrance, and they lock it. And then they kind of leave, and you're here with the other three people, and the human, and then obviously the torso, which probably won't talk to you.
What do you do?
It was worth a try. Torso? Torso?
It pops up and goes, hi! It's a torso.
So they're going to eat us, huh?
The other three people turn and just look sadly at you. And the human goes, I'm guessing so.
Yeah, looks like they're those kind of orcs.
Yep.
I'm having a lousy day.
And the human kind of laughs and he's like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, not my greatest. So what do you want to do?
I'm going to shake the cage I'm in, see if it's totally sound, kind of investigate it a little bit.
It's well built enough. I'm not going to say you have to roll, because it seems janky, like it's an old cage, but it seems like it'll hold if you just try smashing on it.
Okay.
But you can feel it's...
Like, I might be able to get out, but not right now.
Yeah, like, you could explore some other ideas and kind of see what happens.
All right. Oh, and I just have my clothes on me?
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and just get a perception check out there. It's a 21.
It's a 21. Okay, you look around and there's nothing really on the floor or anywhere in the tent around you. You can see that the back of the tent seems to be somewhat closer to your cage than the other cages. And this tent, again, is made of different bones, sticks, furs, stretched out, pieces of cloth, all that kind of stuff. It's pretty patchwork. So I would say you're able to see that you may be able to try and reach and pick off something and try to use that to pick the lock.
All right. Well, I'll go ahead and do that. There's nobody else other than prisoners in the tent?
No, there's no one else.
Yeah, I'll try and see if I can grab anything off the tent.
Okay. So let's see. Maybe do a dexterity check.
That's a 20.
That's a 20. All right. So you're able to kind of shift your shoulder through part of the bars so you can get a little bit extra length, and you are able to break off a nice splinter of wood. Pretty good that you could probably jam into a lock and try to figure something out.
All right. Well, I'm going to take that splinter of wood and see if I can't pick the lock with it.
Okay. So go ahead and do a... What do you think? Sleight of hand? I think that sounds...
Yeah, I don't know how you would... I guess that would be the only thing that would make sense.
Yeah, I'd do sleight of hand.
21 again.
Dang, you're rolling good, man.
Yeah, dude, really good roll.
So you're kind of picking at this lock, and the human's kind of looking, and he's like, you're not one to kind of wait for an opportunity. You kind of just jump into action, don't you?
I'm worried that if I wait, you know, it'll be too late. They plan on eating us.
Yeah. And he goes, all right, well, I'll tell you what, if you get out and let me out, I'll be more than happy to help you escape.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to leave you guys behind.
And he's like, oh, well, I appreciate
that. I was thinking about bringing that torso with me, just in case.
Oh, my God. If you add a torso to your inventory, I'm going to be so pissed in the later stories. Yeah, let me see the bag holding. I'll just stick this.
Yeah.
Okay, so you pop the lock and you get out.
Yes!
So what do you do from here? Who are you letting out first?
I'll let the guy next to me out first. Seems like he's on my team.
Okay.
I'm going to give him the finger to the lips.
Okay.
Tell him to be quiet and not to do anything.
Okay.
And then I'm going to let out the other two people who are in there.
The other three.
Or three, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you let him
give him the same kind of finger to the lips, be quiet, and don't do anything, follow me sort of a thing.
Yeah, and they kind of put their finger to their lips, and then they point to their mouth, so it looks like their tongues were cut out.
Ooh, okay.
So they're kind of like, you know.
Yeah, we don't have a choice.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry about us. The human goes, why don't we unlock the chest? And so that way we can get our stuff.
Duh.
And he's like, okay.
So I'll go to work on the chest. Do you want me to roll again, or do you think that same walk back?
We'll go with it. You're working on it, and you can see a couple of orcs kind of walk by towards the entrance, and there's two kind of sitting there with their backs turned to the entrance, kind of chatting. They're speaking in orcish, which you don't know yet.
And he's kind of sitting there, and he's like, kind of giving you motions of like, okay, be quiet, let's get this thing open. And the chest pops open. So you grab your weapons. He grabs this really long, double-handed, like, broadsword that he has.
Is there anything else in there?
Nothing really. It looks like they caught, like, a traveling band of, like, nobles that were kind of going through, perhaps going to some sort of fancy party, and they just grabbed these people, and they've been beating the crap out of them.
Okay.
You guys have your weapons. There are two orcs at the entrance. What would you like to do?
I want to pull them in and slit their throats. Pull them into the tent.
Okay. Let's roll strength checks.
Dang it.
So you roll a strength check, and I'll give you advantage since it's a surprise.
That's 10 and...
Oh,
natural 20.
Okay, and him with his strength bonuses definitely pulls him in. Nice. So you both grab these orcs and pull them in and slit their throats.
Oh, yeah.
We're just going to say you end these guys because that was a solid 20 roll.
I'm going to pile them up in a, you know, in a tent, like, yep, in a cage in the back, just out of the way.
Yeah, and he goes, well, that was pretty easy. My friend should hopefully be here soon if they're able to track it well enough. And he looks at you and he goes, I guess I'm able to trust you now. My name is Unthgar.
Nice to meet you, Unthgar. I'm Topher.
And he's like, I'm kind of a king of a barbarian tribe along the North Ridge. He's like, so anytime you need anything, feel free to visit me.
So that's how Topher met Unthgar. That's awesome. Hey, thank you, Unthgar. I'll find myself in your place.
Boom! You hear an explosion as a wall collapses, and you see hundreds of barbarians just charging into this orc town. Oh, and they start laying waste as these orcs run to battle, and there's a huge melee going on. And Unthgar kind of, like, laughs, and he kind of takes out his sword, and he flicks it, and it lights on fire. And he goes, Topher, I think we got this pretty well handled if you want to go back to doing whatever you were doing.
Sweet. First I'll check with the other three captives. Do they need anything? Are they going to be okay?
They're going to be okay. They just want to get out of there.
All right. Well, they're free now, and they're fine. I don't necessarily want to have to take care of them. Yeah. I got hunting to do.
Okay.
So I'm going to run off into the woods.
Okay, so the woods. You go outside of the tent, and you kind of get a look around, and there's a large steel gate. So you start making a run for that, and you see four orcs kind of turn and start kind of chasing you towards the gate. You push open the gate and you start going through, and then you notice that they kind of weren't running to you. They kind of took a turn over and they grabbed a horn, and one of them goes boom, and you look back at these gates, and then from a tent in the distance, out of the flaps comes a very, very large, muscular person holding a trident and a shield with a golden lion mask helmet on his face. The other one is a little bit slender and is wearing black robes, and he is holding a scimitar, and he's got a silver wolf mask. They kind of stare at you, and they kind of see you standing out by the woods, and the wolf looks at you and does like a shoo motion to send you off.
Like you can go sort of a thing?
Yeah, he's kind of saying, go ahead and run off into the woods.
I'm going to go out the doors, but I'm not going to run off towards the woods. I'm going to, like, you know, go out and then hide behind them and kind of keep an eye out and see what's going on.
Okay, so they saunter through like they're going to follow you.
Oh, they're after me? I thought they were going to go fight the... okay, so the orcs called them out to catch me.
Because they saw you running, and so they blew this horn to call out these two hunters. So are you sure you don't want to do something?
I'm going to stealth myself.
Okay, go ahead and stealth.
Oh, that's not a very good rule. that's... what is that? 13? 14. That's 14. That's probably 14? Not good enough.
Okay, that's not going to be good enough for them.
So you kind of like look around for somewhere to hide, but nothing's really feeling.
So I just run.
Okay, so you're going out into the woods. Okay, so you can kind of see them kind of slow down and wait by the gate as you go running into the woods. Now, I want you to roll a perception check.
That is 17.
Okay, now roll a nature check.
That is 17 again.
Okay. So you look around in your surroundings as you go running into the woods, and you see a few things that you definitely recognize and have been in contact with in the woods. One, you see a plant full of Gorgon berries.
Okay, now, good.
These are named Gorgon berries because the juice can actually paralyze someone for a short amount of time. And they are on these thorned branches, and the thorns can be a little poisonous too.
Okay.
You also see many strong vines. You see a stack of like some thick bamboo style growth. And you see up in the trees a couple of green fruits that you know are good for your health. If you take any of these fruits and eat them, it's a plus two to your health. It's a plus two health potion, basically. And then you also see some brickle plants. They have thick, sharp, kind of triangular thorns that are easy to remove, but very, very painful, very sturdy. They're the Legos of the plant life.
You can build with them?
So you have all of these different things that you can see out in the wilderness at your disposal. What do you want to do with these?
Okay, I want to collect... I want to not slow down too much, but I want to collect some things. I want
to
collect...
You're going to have some time to go ahead and just give me a game plan of what you want to do while you're in these woods.
Okay. All right. I'm going to collect some berries.
Okay. So you're taking Gorgon berries?
Yep. And I'm going to take some just, like, you know, in my pouch just to keep on me, but I'm going to put some... I want to set a trap, and I want to put some near the trap, okay?
Okay.
Also, just, like, make it look like they fell from the ground. I want to gather some of those green fruits up in the air. And I want to use, like, maybe the bamboo and the vines to set some sort of trap to ensnare whoever's falling.
Okay, so kind of like a snare, like one of those, like, loop leg...
maybe not something that childish, but... okay. Yeah, more or less something that'll tie them up and trap them there so they can't keep following me.
Okay.
And I want there to be plenty of berries near where they get entrapped. And I'm gonna do that, and I'm probably just gonna keep right on my way.
Okay. So you kind of set up a trap with these berries. You're just leaving the berries in their current state, just.
I want to trap them near the berries, so if they're trapped there long enough, they, you know, maybe they'll be like, oh, there's some berries, and I'm hungry, and eat some of them and poison themselves. I don't know. But I also took some on me, so I can always, like, you know, put them in a drink later or whatever. I have some brickleberries or whatever they're called.
The Gorgon berries?
Yeah, but I think the way the trap is going to work, I don't think I have time to, like, you know, dig a hole or anything, but yeah.
I want you to have fun with this. So I'm giving you time because these people are very, very confident hunters.
Right. It's basically right at the entrance of the forest. They're going to find this area. So maybe bend way down with a few bamboo shoots tied to a vine that is tied to something in the ground, so if you walk past it,
it'll whip up
and it'll pull you. It'll tie around their ankles and pull them, and I want it to swing them into a bunch of the thorns that I like stick into a tree.
Nice.
With the brickle thorns. Yeah. So they're like, I'll stick a bunch of brickle thorns on the side of a tree so that they're sticking there.
And so they swing.
So it'll
get
pull them. They'll get pulled. Caught, get pulled by the by the bamboo into the thorns and just kind of slam them into the thorns.
Nice.
And maybe I'll put some berries juice like on the thorns.
Okay. You know,
so that when they get stabbed, it'll paralyze them.
Great idea. Okay, so you got that trap. Are you setting any others?
Next to the thorny tree where someone's going to get slammed into if this is successful, I'm just going to dig a giant, like maybe like a 4-foot deep hole.
Okay.
And cover it with some branches and put some thorns and nastiness down there. And the idea is if one of them gets thrown into the tree, the other guy's going to go over there to check it out, and he's going to fall in.
Okay. All right.
It's a double trap.
Yes, I dig it. Okay, so you're kind of going out through the woods and kind of running. The lion starts to pursue. And he's going to be walking through the forest. And he's actually going to notice the hole you dug.
Okay.
And he's going to sidestep it and kind of walk around. And he's going to stand just inches from your other trap.
Okay.
But he's kind of looking over at the wolf. And the wolf walks by. And the wolf sees the swinging one. And he kind of goes to point at it. But he falls in the hole.
Nice.
So he's going to take... Okay. So he's going to take 24 damage.
Yeah. That was an effective trap.
That was a very effective trap. The lion doesn't really know what's going on, so he's going to help him out. And there was just a hole?
There's a hole next to the tree with all the thorns.
Okay, but... so he falls and he lands nasty, like on his neck and shoulders, and he's injured in there. And the lion bends down and he pulls him up. And, he pulls him up and he kind of steps around, missing your
other
trap. But he pulls him up. He doesn't necessarily notice it. And the wolf was actually able to notice the other trap, too.
Right.
And so they both kind of walk through. But the wolf got beat up pretty good from that fall. He definitely wasn't expecting that. You find your way into a clearing. And it's kind of a wide clearing. And you kind of look around and you turn and you see that both of them are coming out into the clearing as well, and they're both looking at you. So you are a little bit of a distance away. Lion and the wolf.
And they see me?
And they see you. You are in a wide clearing. The wolf actually stands back a little bit farther, and the lion is facing you. So roll for initiative.
Nat 20. That's dang. Like my third or fourth one today.
I know, dude. You're
slaying. It's so funny. The first roll was a critical miss, and then everything since then has been a good roll.
Yeah, you've been killing it. Okay, so you get to attack first.
I'm going to shoot an arrow at the wolf.
At the wolf? That's in the background? Okay. Oh, the birds are chirping. It's like a standoff.
Yep. That's 27.
Damn, that's going to do it.
Yeah, that's going to be 2d8 total. That's 8, and then 9 damage to the wolf.
9 damage to the wolf. Okay. So the wolf takes 9 damage, and he is bloodied. He's actually not looking too good. Now it moves over to the lion. The lion takes out his trident. You shot an arrow, right?
Yes.
Okay. And he's going to move up to you. And he's going to take his trident, and he's going to attack. 19.
That hits.
Okay. 6 plus 4, and that'll do 6 damage.
Alright.
And he's going to try to disarm you. So he's going to use one of his superiority dice.
Ah.
And he's going to do 1 extra damage to you. He's going to do 1 extra damage to you. And I need you to roll a strength save versus a DC 14.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Strength save. 17.
Dang it. Okay, so you hold on to your weapon.
Thank goodness.
All right.
So that got rid of one of those.
Okay, so now it goes over to the wolf. The wolf is going to cast Magic Missile at you. So that's 1d4 plus 1, 3 per dart, 6, 7, 8. So 11, I think?
11?
Is it 11? What's your health at right now?
25.
Yeah, I think it was 11 damage. Magic missile. So the wolf looks at you and he reaches out and he casts magic missile from a distance. It curves around his partner in crime here and it winds up hitting Topher for 11 damage.
Dang it.
Now it's back to you, Topher.
Pain. I'm gonna attack the lion with my swords.
Okay.
Which is 19 to hit.
That'll do it.
And then the other hand, that's even better. That's
22.
That does 1d6 and 1d8. So 6, 7, 8. 9, 13 damage on the lion.
Okay, so then it's going to go over to the lion, and the lion is going to go to attack you with his trident again. 5, plus 6, so 11.
That's not going to hit.
Yeah, that's not going to hit. So he misses. Misses you completely with the trident. You nimbly move out of the way. It's going to go over to the wolf, and the wolf is going to cast shield on himself. What shield does... until your next turn, you have plus 5 bonus to AC.
Dang.
So there's that. So he has a plus 5 to AC, so that's going to help him quite a bit. Back over to you, Topher.
I'm going to keep hacking away at the lion.
Okay, using sword?
Yeah, hopefully I can keep rolling this well. That's a 14 to hit.
14's going to miss.
Dang. And then the second one is also a 14.
14 so. Also misses, so he nimbly moves out of the way. And he's going to disengage and move back. Actually, he's not disengaging, he's just moving back. So you get an opportunity attack. I was going to do it without disengaging, so...
I think that hits.
That hits.
With just, I guess, my sword, since I was standing next to him, and I hit him as he tried to run off. Yep. So that does 1d6 plus 4. And now I get the d8 because he has damage. So that's 7, 9.
9.
Dirty, dirty lion.
Okay. So it now goes back over to the lion. And the lion goes to attack you with the crossbow. Or actually, the lion gives up his turn on an opportunity attack, doesn't he?
I don't think so. I think no? He still gets a turn.
He's going to go with the crossbow. 12, that's 16? Yeah, 16.
That hits.
That hits. Okay, so 1, d8. That'll be 7, 8, 9.
Okay. Man.
Think about your inventory. What do you got? What can you use?
Well, I have some fruit, but what, that's like 4 health back if I eat it all?
Yeah, if you took 2, then you'll get 4 health.
Yeah.
What other berries did you grab?
The poisoning berries, which I'm gonna rub on some arrows. On the blade, the point of my arrows.
Okay.
And I'm going to shoot the lion this time.
Okay.
I couldn't you know, shoot before because he was right in my face. Oh, that's not a very good. Well, it's 18 though.
It's 18 that hits.
Good. So I hit him with an arrow. It does 6, 7, 8, 12 damage.
12 damage? The lion goes down. He is dead. You killed him.
I killed him?
The lion is dead.
Well, a lot of good the poison berries did.
And now seeing his best partner go down, the wolf is starting to get a little bit nervous.
Yeah, he is.
So it's his turn. He's going to fire his crossbow, but he's going to do it at disadvantage. He's going to miss.
Thank goodness. Topher needs.
Did you want to use the same type of berries?
Yeah, I'll put some berries on my arrow again.
Okay.
That's 18.
18
to hit.
That'll do arrow.
It. And that'll do. That'll do, pig. That'll do 2, 3, 7 damage.
7 damage. He looks really bad, but you use the Gorgon berries on there.
Mm-hmm.
You hit him, and he like seizes up and kind of drops down to one knee, and he's not able to go on his turn.
You're darn right. I'm gonna walk up to him. I'm actually gonna talk to him because he can't really move very well right now. It might be wise for me to like. I'm going to put, like, a dagger to his throat.
Okay.
Because if he does regain his movement, I don't want him to just, like, real quick, you know, take me out. Who are you? What are you about? Why are you after me? Why are you hanging out with these orc losers?
He...
Cannibal orcs.
He replies to you in orcish.
Oh, dang it. I don't speak orc.
You can kind of see him trying to move his hand towards a dagger on his waist.
Yeah, I'm gonna stab him in the throat.
Okay, go ahead and roll the hit. Which you're also gonna have advantage on since he's like, he's paralyzed.
He's a sitting target. That's 20?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. What does a dagger do?
Well, he has one hit point left, so I'm gonna say that you stab this dude and
kill him.
Drop him down. With each one falling, you see that the helmets have rolled off and they are just orcs with scars on their faces.
Okay.
But both of the helmets have rolled off.
Yeah, I'm going to take those helmets with me.
Okay.
The wolf helmet and the lion helmet.
You hear, again, footsteps. But these footsteps are followed by cheering. And chanting, and out of the woods comes Unthgar and his clan of barbarians. And he walks up to you and he goes, "Oh, wow." He's like, "These two, huh?" He's like, that's quite impressive. Maybe we'll have to take you on some of our adventures.
Do you have any potions of healing or anything? I'm pretty low on health, Unthgar.
And he's like, yeah, actually, I do. And he kind of snaps his fingers and a very burly barbarian comes over with a little bag and takes out some potions.
Sweet.
And stuff, and he takes out a little lollipop and pops it in his mouth and starts eating that too.
Nice. That's pretty cool.
How
much do I heal?
We'll say you go back to full.
Full health? Yeah,
they have enough for you to hit back a couple of them, and you go back to full health. That was your big battle for this interaction.
Yeah, it almost killed me. I was down to 5.
Nice.
Okay, nice. Okay, well, I just, like, tie off the lion and wolf helmet to, like, my belt, basically, and thank Unthgar and shake his hand warmly and maybe give him a hug or two.
He explains to you again where they're located and you can come visit them.
Yeah, I already made plans to visit there in my, you know, in my ranging across the lands. That's so awesome.
You look at the time and you kind of see that nightfall has kind of fallen again. So you don't have a ton of time, and judging from where you are in the woods, it'll probably take you a day's travel to get back to the hunting lodge.
Okay. Dang it, I wanted to get back to that elk that I took down.
Roll a nature check?
Nature check? Nature check? That's a 7 plus 3, so only 10.
A 10? You know kind of a roundabout idea on where that all kind of went down, and you think you may be able to hit it?
Tonight? Part of an Outlander background. You can always remember the layout of a region's geographical features and can usually find enough food and water for 6 people. So it
That's true.
Me.
With your adventuring around, then I'd say you would probably have advantage on that rule of figuring.
Well, I know. I have a better idea of where I am. That doesn't necessarily mean that I can make it back tonight.
I'd say you're able to find this thing.
Okay. Is the elk still there?
On the way back. Yeah, the elk's still there. You go over and there's a couple, like, wolves kind of, like, sniffing around at it.
And say, hey, shoo!
And they just kind of go, and they take off.
I put the wolf mask on and...
there you go.
And snuggle with them.
And they go, dad!
And they keep me warm
and
through
the suckle.
Night.
No, so you... What are you doing with this fantasy elk?
I just want to make sure that I have it so I can bring it with me. But since I, you know, I need to sleep tonight before I can bring it in, I just wanted to make sure I had it.
Yeah.
And it was still there. I didn't want it to get eaten by wolves or something.
Yeah.
So I'll...
You probably have 4 hours of sleep you can get.
Yeah, well, that's great. That's, like, plenty for an elf.
Okay. So you get this sleep. You're going back to the cabin with your elk.
I mean, that's kind of the... Is that the 48 hours up?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so I guess that's what I caught, yeah.
Okay, so you walk in, you see people with... Someone has, like, an owlbear with them.
Nice.
Someone has a bugbear that they've found and interacted with. They also have a couple little, like, pheasants and stuff. Everyone kind of has, like, one big thing and a couple little things that maybe they added on because they ran out of time.
Uh-huh.
So you walk in and you have your elk prize, your 30 point.
Yeah.
That you bring in, and everyone kind of goes up and they give them a ranking and a scoring, and the union leader Oakenfold's there, and he's kind of like, oh yeah, and everyone cheers. And then he goes, Topher, why don't you bring yours up?
I drag my elk up.
Okay.
And I say, I caught this guy in the woods near here. He was smoking his cigarette and wearing his sunglasses like he always does.
And he looks at you and he's like, you look like you're in a bit of rough shape.
Well, I also, I got captured by some orcs and...
And he's like, what? Okay.
Made some friends with some barbarians, but that has nothing to do with this.
He's like,
that's just when I, right after I killed this elk.
He's just get, like, the room's kind of quiet, and then, like, everyone's kind of looking at each other. But then he's like, okay, all right, so let's take a look. Oh, it looks like you one-shotted this elk. 30 points, that's a pretty good score. But is this all you have?
Oh, I have I killed a couple orcs. Does that count?
And he's like, you killed a couple of orcs. I mean, not... Really, because they're round.
Well, I think they were important. I've seen their pictures around. They had these helmets on.
He takes a look at the helmets, and everyone, it's just like a pin could drop. And they're all looking, and they are just in shock. And he's like, the lion and the wolf.
Yeah.
And Oakenfold's like, you killed them.
Yeah, it wasn't easy.
He's like,
killed him real good.
He is just completely in shock. He's like, this is one of the reasons I was so worried about the woods, knowing that these people were out there and who knows what was going on. He's like, I think this clearly puts you at the top of the list for this.
Oh, thanks.
And everyone erupts into applause and cheers.
Yay.
And he takes out the antler crown and he goes, for a fantastic fantasy elk, as well as taking down two of the threats to these woods and upsetting the balance that we have seen in many years, Topher is the champion of the Antler Crown. And he hands it over to you.
Yes.
Now, going
I put
on,
it on.
Nice. So you're wearing it. So going on from this point, you keep kind of hunting around. You keep going on your adventures. I'm assuming you visit Unthgar a few times.
Yeah. I just want to see where he lives, you know?
Yeah. And
keep that connection alive. He's a good guy. He's a friend.
Yeah. Throughout a few years, you know, you kind of visit him and talk to him when you're kind of in the area. And yeah. There's one...
Maybe stay with him once or twice even, you know?
And there was one visit that you were kind of coming back from. Where you were kind of going around through the trees trying to see what kind of animals you could hunt and pick up when you hear something. Do a perception check.
14.
You hear screaming, like low, guttural screaming of someone that sounds like they are in terrible distress.
Well, I gotta go check that out.
You go and you kind of go through the treetops and take a look, and you see a half-orc running around through the trees.
It's Lazarus!
Creating all sorts of havoc, just completely losing his mind. And that is where we're going to end your story.
Oh, that's where it picked up. That's wonderful.
All right. Well, congratulations on completing your story. You didn't die in your backstory. That makes everything else that happens now so much
easier. But I came pretty close, actually.
I didn't know
what was going to happen.
It was perilous.
Yeah, it was dangerous.
So join us next time in other installations of the backstory.
Dun, 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 dun.